I want to thank you for choosing to seek God with us today. And I want to point out that my outline is available to print out up there in the right-hand corner of the website. And remind you that we are meeting in Caleta at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We are practicing CDC guidelines as we do that. As we look into the study of the book of Acts, this life in the Spirit that they had at that time, our message for July 26, 2020, I entitled it Paul at Antioch in Poseidon, and it's the fourth time we've looked at this message. Our scripture text is Acts 13:37-44, if you want to open your Bible. Acts 13:37-44. So my outline, Jesus has your best interest at heart, point number one. Point number two, Jesus has a warning for you. For first of all, Jesus has your best interest at heart. Secondly, Jesus has a warning for you. Today we read the conclusion of Paul's message. He concludes that Jesus accomplished what the law could not. Paul and the Holy Spirit will invest a lot, if not most of the rest of Paul's writings, in explaining what Jesus accomplished and how it affects our relationship with God. And we will look into some of his letters to the churches and highlight some of those things today. This is good news. It is finished. It is finished. The Bible has different words that can be used to describe the effect of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Big words like propitiation, redemption, justification, reconciliation, and righteousness. In 1989, I was asked to learn how to pronounce and spell and understand these words. Many days I think I'm still learning what they mean to me, what they mean to us. We're going to read from the NIV Bible this morning, Acts chapter 13, verses 37 to 44. This is what it says. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Quote, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days you will never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and the devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost a whole city gathered to hear the word of God. The end. Point number one, Jesus has your best interest at heart. God is for us. God wants us to win this war with sin and death we're in. God loves you. Jesus has your best interest at heart. He loves you. He wants you to win. A on your outline, faith in the finished work of Jesus. Underline the word faith in the finished work of Jesus. This is a gift that must be accepted, received, and believed. Through faith in the finished work of Jesus is a gift that one receives, or they accept, or they believe it's real. Faith makes all this work. Paul's audience was trying to accomplish these truths under the law of Moses. What is your idea of what that means? Living under the law of Moses. What does that mean to you? Oversimplified, it's a complex set of laws and rules that one had to fulfill perfectly to obtain and then maintain a relationship with the Holy God. Simplistically, that's what the law of Moses is. God gave us a law, and his law was for our good. It was designed to help us understand relationship and to provide order. That's what God's law was designed to do. Help us understand relationship with him and relationship with others and provide an order to our life, our family, our neighborhood, community, country, world. Our world today, if you watch the news, shows us that there's a loss of respect for law and order in our nation. When every day there are scenes of riots and destruction in the streets, we have a loss of respect for law and order in our nation. When a nation removes God and his laws of relationship, that's the result. When you take away God's laws and a relationship with the Creator, the result is chaos. Anyone who tried to fulfill God's law completely and who took the matter seriously was always conscious of their failure and guilt. Anyone who took it seriously and tried to completely fulfill God's laws, and they took that seriously, they were always conscious of their failure and their guilt before a holy God. Today, this pattern would play out in people trying to do their best for God. Excuse me. That's what it would look like today. People who do their best for God, or trying each day to be their very best person, or to be the very best version of themselves they can. That's what this living under the law would look like. In Jesus, men and women can find forgiveness for their sins, their guilt, and condemnation. They can be restored to a friendship with a holy God. Men and women who find forgiveness in Jesus can be restored to a friendship with a holy God. Jesus came to accomplish this. Then he wrote and rewrote a new system. Very simply, it was, love each other as I have loved you. That's Jesus' new system. Love each other as I have loved you. In doing that, you will fulfill all of the laws and the commandments. In Paul's letter to this little church of the Galatians we're studying in Acts, he will try to explain it to them this way. This life in the Spirit we seek, this is how he explained it. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul writes, "The fruit of the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, and peace. It's being patient, kind, and good. It's being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself." The end. Our faith in the finished work of Jesus allows this fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow in our lives. The big word propitiation, what does it mean? It's used to describe the effect of the cross and Christ's death. It is an appeasing of the wrath of God so that justice and holiness may be satisfied. So propitiation is an appeasing of the wrath with God so that justice and holiness are satisfied. Back in the days when I was practicing AA, we would call this making amends to those we have wronged. One of the steps. One humbles themselves, admits their wrong, and is willing to do whatever it takes to restore relationship. That's what making amends means. You humble yourself, admit your wrong, and will do whatever it takes to restore relationship. That's propitiation. Back when I worked 11 to 7 at the steel mill, and Julie got up to find flowers on the snack bar and the children eating donut holes from McCaslin's, I was making propitiation for some stupid thing I had done. Be on your outline. Forgiveness is in the finished work of Jesus. So your first blank was faith. Your second blank is forgiveness. In the finished work of Jesus. Propitiation is what makes forgiveness possible. Because of Jesus' life and death, justice and holiness are satisfied. Through Jesus' life and death, everyone who believes in his finished work is set free from every sin. Think that through with me. Through the life and death of Jesus, everybody who believes in his finished work is set free from every sin. One is set free from every sin, the past, the sins in the present, and the sins in the future. One does not have to sin. Because of what Jesus did, one does not have to sin. John's testimony of the death of Jesus tells us this. In the New International Version of John 19:30, the Bible says, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and he died. The end. Jesus said, "It is finished." In Paul's letter to the church of these Galatians, he will try to explain it to them and to us so that we could understand this life in the Spirit we seek this way. This is how it works. In Galatians 5:24 and 25, the Bible says, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires." The end. Our faith in the finished work of Jesus allows us to believe that in Jesus, our flesh is dead. That's our desire for sin died with Jesus, in Jesus. In Paul's letter to a young church in the city of Rome, he will write this in Romans 3:23-26. It says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that comes through Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at this present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ." The end. All have sinned. All are justified freely by his grace through faith. This is through the redemption of Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice and atonement to be received by faith. In his first letter of three to the church, John will express it to us this way. In 1 John 2:1 and 2, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world." The end. This can be described in the big word redemption. Redemption. This is a delivering from the bondage of sin, a releasing to a new freedom. We read that in Romans 3:24 when it said, "All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus." And later, Paul will write to this church in Galatia this, in Galatians 3:13 and 14. It says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.' He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." The end. It is by faith in this finished work of Jesus that we receive the promise of the Spirit that was given to Abraham. Our next big word is justification. It's a word used to describe a judicial act. It's done by God where he declares a believing sinner righteous. This is an imputed righteousness, and Paul told us about it in Acts 13:38 and 39, when he said, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses." The end. So it's a justification you could not obtain by trying to do it under the law of Moses. Justification can be easily understood by expressing it this way. It is just as if I had never sinned. When, by faith, this is real in my life, God looks at me just like Jesus. So, if by faith I believe this justification, what happens is, it is just as if I never sinned. And when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. The Father loves us as much and in the same way as his Son Jesus. We are one when we are justified. Reconciliation is a big word. You're probably most familiar with this of all of them. This is a change in relationship between humans and God. This is based on the redemptive work finished by Jesus. Paul will explain it this way to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled to us to himself through Christ, and gave us this ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The end. Paul will explain this same truth to a young church in Ephesians this way, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put together their hostility. The end. C on your outline is freedom. Freedom in the finished work of Jesus. Freedom in the faith finished work of Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel, that forgiveness of sins and freedom from guilt are available. This freedom and forgiveness are a gift given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. This gift is available to everyone. The world we live in does its best to remove God from our authority structure. The world today sees themselves as a God, deciding what is good and what is evil. Without a creator and a holy God at the top of this authority structure, people are set free from guilt. The bad news is, there is a creator, and there is a holy God. And everyone will someday stand before him and be judged. Have you received this forgiveness God offers? Are you refreshed by this forgiveness each day? And throughout your day, do you exercise faith in this forgiveness? Our last big word is righteousness. Righteousness. God declares us righteous because of our faith in the finished work of Jesus. Then he can forgive us. Our big words today of propitiation, redemption, justification, reconciliation, righteousness. My hope is that they're helpful. Helpful not just for us, but for our commissioned work from God of reconciliation with God and with the world. Point number two on our outline today. Jesus has a warning for you, for everyone. A on your outline, the Holy Spirit warns, don't let what the prophets spoke about happen to you? A. The Holy Spirit warns, do not let what the prophet spoke about you happen to you. And underline the word let. We let this happen. Please believe what God, what Paul, and what I am telling you. The warning to the church in John's book entitled Revelation. In Revelations 2, 3-5, Jesus is speaking to John, talking about us, the church. And Jesus says, you have persevered and endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The end. One of the greatest testimonies of our little church is the marriages within the church. Love relationships that have lasted many years. When Julie went to heaven, we were on year 42. A love relationship after 42 years or 45 years or 52 years or even more is different than when it first started. Jesus is saying, don't let that happen in your relationship with Him. Don't let that happen with Him. I believe that Jesus is saying this, keep the spark, keep the passion, the desire from the start. Then add to this the understanding and grace that comes from years of love. Consider how far you have fallen and repent. Do the things you did at first. If not, the end is not pleasant. From time to time, I get into trouble with people for repeating what Jesus says is true. This is one of those times. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What does that mean? That He will come and remove your lampstand. Whatever it is, I think we can agree it's not good. Many people will not consider how far they have fallen and repent and do the things they did at first. God has provided a way for us to escape this removal of whatever that is. God has provided us His amazing grace. Be on your outline. The Holy Spirit encouraged them to keep living in God's grace. Grace is your underlined blank. The Holy Spirit encouraged them to keep living in God's grace. Paul tried to get them to keep living in God's grace. I'm trying to do that too. Would you invest some time in trying to understand for your own life what Jesus' finished work on the cross did and is doing for your life? Would you please look at this warning from the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Paul, and I, that we are showing you? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much, Father, for loving us so much that you would ask your only Son, Jesus Christ, to come, be born, live perfect, die perfect, rise from the dead, sit at the right hand now to be an advocate on our behalf. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work that you did. Thank you so much for your amazing love for us. Thank you for the grace that you have bestowed on us. Most of all, thank you right now for your Holy Spirit. As we seek this Spirit in the study of Acts, I pray that because of our study, because of our heart, because of our belief in what you've accomplished, we would begin to experience this life in the Spirit greater than ever before. And because of your indwelling Spirit, we would be able to continue in our commissioned work to reconcile a lost world for you. There is a great need of that in the world we live in. Would you humbly please take us and use us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is here. Hands that heal nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. 'Cause living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. And buried, He carried me. My sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. Rising again.
Day.